South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham jumped into the 2016 presidential race today, and if you've been listening to him and the other presidential hopefuls, you might hear something similar about how they talk about themselves.
I have more experience with our national security than any other candidate in this race.
You know, I'm not going to tell you that everybody in America agrees with Bernie Sanders, but more people do than you would think.
Together, we made our city a safer, healthier, and better place for kids. Together, we made our city believe again, and we got things done.
That was former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Before that, we heard from Bernie Sanders, the Vermont senator, speaking to Yahoo News, and Senator Lindsey Graham, and they were all, in some way or another, bragging about themselves. And it turns out there is a right and wrong way to brag, and trying to hide your bragging may backfire. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And as we heard those different styles of bragging there, what did you hear?
What I heard was that they're all trying to bring attention to themselves in a way that is or might be considered sincere and humble enough. And I say humble enough because even though some candidates are knocked by the press for being too braggadocious, there is, in fact, I think, very little humility in asking tens of millions of people to elect you as the president of the most powerful country in the world. But even here, I do think we hear bragging sort of couched in the language of experience. I'm not telling you I'm the best. I'm just telling you what I've done. But, I mean, across all three candidates, it's sort of interesting. You had Graham saying, I'm the best in terms of foreign policy. You had O'Malley saying, look at my experience. And then you had Sanders taking what might be the most humble or indirect route, saying, I'm not that popular, but I'm certainly more popular than you think, which is sort of interesting. What psychologists, I think, would say is that two of our great social needs are praise and sympathy. And so right now, these candidates are asking for our admiration. But I would project that in a few months, when they start getting attacked, the competition for bragging rights is probably going to give way, as I think it does every 4 years, into a competition over umbrage. So that when Ted Cruz knocks Jeb Bush or vice versa, you're going to hear them say, oh, I cannot believe the candidate
Shame
said this
him.
About me. Shame yeah, on right. them. Pity me. Well, and so once again, you have these twin needs of praise and sympathy combining.
But let's get back to that term humble brag that you used. And this is something that is it could be as simple as somebody saying, I'm so tired from running that marathon. You're humbly bragging about running a marathon. But there's some new research on this, the humble brag. What did researchers find?
Yeah, so just to give people a very clear sense of what we mean by humble bragging, a more literal term might be a complain bragging. So a classic brag might be, I had a great weekend in Nantucket. A classic complaint might be, I'm extremely tired. A humble brag would be to turn to your colleague and say, I'm so tired, you have no idea how hard it is to get out of Nantucket
on popular weekends. The ferries are really slow.
The first class of the ferry was just such a disaster. So that is what we talk about when we say humble brag. And these researchers, including Michael Norton, a professor at Harvard Business School, they looked at this question of whether it makes sense to humble brag, whether it makes sense to disguise your bragging indirectly in order to give yourself license to be braggadocious. And the name of this paper was Humble Bragging, a distinct and ineffective self-presentation strategy. They essentially said, this is Michael Norton, people think they can get the best of both worlds, complaining and bragging by being indirect, but instead they're just perceived as being insincere, which is seen as even worse than bragging straightforwardly.
So when does it make sense to brag, and what is the best way to do it? Because this is something that, especially if you want to move up in the business world or within the company that you work for, you do have to be able to talk about your accomplishments and things like that. So when does it make most sense to brag?
The four-part hierarchy that Michael Norton explained to me is the following. The best thing, number one, is to have other people brag for you. And when you think about politicians, this is actually a really interesting example. Before all of those clips of Graham, O'Malley, and Sanders speaking, I am quite sure that at those events, you had somebody introduce them.
Yeah.
And what happens when someone introduces a politician? They always say, oh, Lindsey Graham is by far the most most experienced person to lead us in this time of uncertainty in the Middle East, yada, yada, yada. So you have somebody else do the bragging for you. This way, you can sort of bask in that admiration and pride without having to claim it. So number one is have someone else brag for you. Number two is complain. It turns out that complaining is seen as more sincere than bragging. There's something sort of authentic about finding something negative about everything in the world, even if you can overdo this. Number three is to brag straightforwardly. Don't try to disguise it indirectly, because then you're seen as being sort of too self-aware of the fact that you're trying to brag. And then finally, if simply no one is going to brag on your behalf and you truly can't brag straightforwardly and you've complained about everything under the sun, then perhaps you may be permitted to humble brag.
All right. Well, we welcome listeners' comments, bragging or not, at our website, hereandnow.org. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.